everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with some special coverage of a brand new series that just dropped on Netflix. It's called Too Hot to Handle, and we're going to be talking about episodes 1 and 2 of this 8-part very important show that's so hot. It's too hot to handle. Maybe some people thought it would be too hot to handle on this podcast, but no, that is not the case. And I'm joined here by a woman who is the co-host of our Love Island wrap up with Love Island on Yadis right now. It's a great pleasure to get to talk to her today about Too Hot to Handle, episodes 1 and 2. Please welcome Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
I am doing so well, Rob. Thank you for having me on this Too Hot to Handle adventure. I heard you might be considering possibly covering it, and I jumped in. I said, there's no Love Island. Please let me talk about hot dummies on an island. It's all that I know.
Yes. Okay. So we have a lot to talk about here. We'll talk about all of episodes 1 and 2 you are not going to watch the show, I think that this is fine to listen to. We will explain what's going on. It's not that high concept. Please no spoilers in the chat here. We are streaming this live, and we're going to be talking about episodes 1 and 2 today. And you never know who might walk through the podcast door if we have any special guests along the way. But I'm excited to talk about this with you today, Kirsten, as a 4-part podcast series where we will be talking about episodes 1 and 2 today. Yep. And then Kirsten, midweek, we'll talk about episodes 3 and 4, episodes 5 and 6 as a podcast. And then we'll all be back for the finale. We think Friday. So this will be a journey together that we'll learn so much about ourselves, like the people that went to what do they call this? The resort?
I don't know, the resort, the getaway. In Love Island, they would call it a villa. Basically, I think much like the contestants on this show, we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into.
Yes.
And now we are going to go on a journey of discovery together.
We're going on a journey of discovery together. So we're very excited to talk about this. Kirsten, how are you doing?
Honestly, like hand to God or whatever, I only watched the first 2 episodes, and I'm actually just like, I want to watch the rest.
Oh, good.
Like, this is something
that's a good thing.
This is something that I wish I could be binging right now, but then I'm like, oh no, I have to be a professional and I have to like watch it as I go. And I hate myself for that mentality because I'm obsessed with these hot dummies.
They're like so hot and so dumb.
Like,
and
there's like,
what a great cast. What a great cast
and,
here.
And then I'm also, exactly, like, honestly, perfect casting. I love that they went international. And then the one thing that has not been clear, so they announced the prize pool, but it's never really made clear, like, is this something they share? So there's like 10 or 12 of them, and then it's a prize pool of 100,000. So you divide that like 10 ways anyways, like, okay, so $10,000, and then there's tax. So like, I don't understand why any of them are actually going along with the premise. Well, because they're not making money.
Back to the first thing about them being so hot and so dumb. So let's just explain the concept of the show, because I think some people might have just hit play on the podcast and don't really know what this is. Why is Rob talking about this show? This doesn't seem like the kind of show that Rob would normally talk about.
I mean, it's true. It doesn't.
It does not. But I saw the trailer and I said, okay, I really want to be a part of what's going to go on here with Too Hot to Handle. And so let me just explain the premise of the show.
Okay.
They've invited some singles, and these were especially the thirstiest swipers across online dating apps. I'm not sure how they found them. And I believe they told them that they were going to be part of some sort of a sexual escapade. Like, I'm not really sure exactly how they entrapped these people with what they told them in the first place.
Yes. Okay. So I was talking to someone about this yesterday, and I firmly believe that they could have outlined all of these rules and exactly what they were getting into, and the people still would have been just as confused when they got there, because they weren't reading their NDAs. They weren't reading these. Yeah. Like, the contracts for these reality shows are an insane amount of text. Like, they could have laid it all out for them, and these people were like, oh, I'm gonna go on TV, sold. I'm going.
Yeah. They just were, it seemed to be under the impression they're going to some place because they are going to basically like to the sex Olympics.
Yeah.
This is where you're going to. There's going to be people, no strings attached to this hedonistic adventure that you're about to go to. And so everybody is excited. Everybody is shot out of a cannon, ready to go. But plot twist, there's a Amazon Alexa. There's a
her name is
Google Home
Lana, okay?
Yes.
Or Lana, Lana,
it's not Liana. Yes.
It's not Liana.
And this personal assistant device that you would have in your home talks and actually wants these people to have better relationships and more meaningful relationships in the real world. And by the end of episode one, we'll tell them that if anybody has any kissing, any quote unquote heavy petting, any sex, money is taken off the table. There's a $100,000 prize. And if anybody is fooling around, they're losing money.
Yeah, and again, it's just not that much money to be, like, the premise is just so weird when it's so little money. Like, they're truly doing this for nothing. And based on the previews, a lot of money is going to be taken out of this pot as we go through.
This doesn't even move the needle for you.
I mean, it's just, like, because they're going to lose so much anyways, even when they're trying to be good, that it's like, why are they bothering? Like, $100,000 split between all these people, and there's going to be new people, you know, coming in and out, which is, it's not the definition that I know of what a grenade is, but okay, too hot to handle. So, yeah, they are taking, like, that very UK reality vibe of, like, people are going to come in. I don't know if that means people will therefore be eliminated and then there's, like, a final group that gets to share the money. Maybe it'll dwindle down to just a couple of people and then they get more money. I don't know. But, like, I really would like the rules explained to this, because they have not done a good job of it.
Kirsten, you bring up a lot of great points. We have no idea. Are there eliminations? Is there one winner? They seem to be acting like there is one winner and not that they're splitting this prize pool.
I don't know if we can put any sort of motivation onto these people.
Yeah, we don't know. Well, we know one motivation. They are very motivated by lust, that these people are. It's a thirsty group.
Should we go through all of the people?
Yes. Yeah, I would love to. Let's go through them all. There's my other question for you, just in terms of big picture, is that people have wondered, is this the same place as Love Island? Do we have any idea in terms of?
No.
Okay. No.
It is absolutely not. The Love Island villa is a very specific look. It is very iconic. You would know, like, just by the pool alone that they have on the Love Island villa, you would know. This, I believe, was a resort in Mexico after creeping Francesca on social media.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Appears that they were in Mexico.
I didn't even think to look at anybody's social media that was on the show. That's why you're the expert, Kirsten.
Okay, but to be honest, I only looked at Francesca's because she is Canadian.
And she says she has over 300,000 followers.
And she does.
No lie.
She did not lie about that. She has a ton of followers.
Yeah.
And with good reason.
My second question for you is that is the narrator the same woman that was the narrator for the U.S. version of The Circle?
Okay. Yes, because I was going to ask you the same question. I was like, that sounds very familiar to me.
And honestly, narrator at Netflix.
I kind of like the way that they did it, though, where the narrator is just doing the voiceovers and we never have to like see her pop up like standing in front of the villa. Like, no, we've got Lana for that. We have this weird plastic cone that can communicate with everybody. Do you think that they will switch from using The Circle social media and use Lana in the next seasons of The Circle?
Yeah. And why didn't they have Joey from The Circle as the crossover person to, hey, if you like The Circle, watch Too Hot to Handle. Message! Chloe! Yeah.
First of all, perfect casting. But I love Joey Sasso. I'm very vocal about my love of Joey Sasso. I don't think Joey's hot enough for the show.
Not hot enough. Wow.
And also possibly not dumb enough.
All right. Boy, Kirsten is not going to be happy till nobody from the cast of The Circle wants to be friends with her anymore.
I mean, okay. I have never been that mean about any of those people.
No.
And I'm sorry. You go on a reality show. Sometimes people don't love you as a character. Doesn't mean they know you as a person. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Nobody from Too Hot to Handle is going to love us after today.
Okay. Spoiler alert. None of these people know what a podcast is.
They only know about a podcast, not a podcast. Okay. All right, Kirsten. So we just get thrown right into it. Okay. Basically, yes. We hear about the luxury, no bone zone, and then yes. Boom. Let's start meeting people. Do you want to tackle them in a particular order, or do you want to go by the order Royal Rumble style that they arrive?
Let's just do the order they arrive. Okay. That's the order I have it in my notes.
Okay. All right. First up, we get Chloe. She's from the UK. I actually yes. find her to be one of the most non-problematic people that are there. She's dumb. She seems to know it.
Yeah, she has the self-awareness where she says she is not the brightest spark in the book, but is how she describes herself.
Yeah.
But like, she seems just like very fun. People from Essex often end up on Love Island, and there's even like other shows specifically about Essex, just like the party culture there. And people are always like, oh, Essex is like trash. That's like the trashy UK accent. But I like love Essex accents. Yes. I just think she seems sweet, and like she calls herself dumb, but I think she might be one of the like smartest people are there.
She might be the best on the show. I think Chloe might be the closest that we get to having somebody to root for.
I mean, not to get too ahead of myself, but I'm obsessed with Haley.
Haley, okay. All right, let's get there. Chloe arrives. She says yes. dating is a part-time job for her. People are texting mm-hmm. her while she's even talking to the producer.
Yeah, she gets a Snapchat of a picture of a man's boxers.
Yeah, okay. This is nothing new for Chloe. Here comes Sharon. Am I saying that right?
Yes, Sharon. And he comes in and he leads out people who aren't paying close attention like us might think, oh, he immediately says he is a feminist. But no, what he says is, consider myself a feminist with like a smirk on his face. Yes. And then he talks about how he studied women and gender studies in order
to get women,
which is, you know, the goal of feminism, obviously. Yes.
He's also on Christian Mingle, the website.
Yeah, he said, any Christians, give me a call. Yeah. So he does not discriminate.
No, he's open. He's open-minded.
He talks a lot about how proud he is of his genitals. There's yes. an air freshener picture yes. that I find deeply alarming.
Yeah, I hear that. That they asked him, he volunteered the information. What are you most proud of? What are you most proud of? And there was one particular body part that he was the most proud of, and he says that he has a picture of it next to a air freshener can. Yeah.
And then he holds up an air freshener can, and it's like, dude, it's too much. Like, honestly,
who wants to get Glade?
Honestly, terrifying. Like, truly one of the scariest things I've ever seen on TV.
Air freshener. I'll never look at an air freshener can the same way.
I don't think any of us will. It's impossible.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, like Sharon has tattoos. Mm-hmm. Was he the guy from Jersey?
He's from New Jersey, Sharon.
Yeah, he was, he's a treat.
Yeah.
And so he comes in, obviously, him and Chloe, they're cute. It's all good. Mm-hmm. But then comes in Haley, who is an icon. Like,
yeah.
Haley is a treasure. In her first, like, 2 minutes on the show, first she's like, just talking about her sorority and how it's mm-hmm. so much fun. They go to frat parties and she's like, oh yeah, once a girl fell off the roof and broke her neck. But other than that, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Then she goes on and they're talking about tattoos and they go, oh, what language is that? And she goes, I don't know.
Yep.
Just not, like, if anyone's thinking about getting a tattoo, you should know what language it is at least. Like, just at least know the language.
So I found Haley, I think that she might be the most dumb of all of the people that's on the show.
Oh, I think she might be the most dumb out of all the people women. Certainly of the women. Planet.
On the planet.
Like, she's not smart.
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed with her. Like, I love her so much. Yeah. Like, and then she's immediately like comparing breast sizes with Chloe. And she,
yes.
And it's just like, this is the first 2 minutes and yeah. she is just, she's off to the races. I'm obsessed.
Yes. Yeah. Sharon had said, well, why don't you guys just take them out so you can compare them better? What household objects would they be like? Because that's how Sharon measures things.
I mean, I think that Sharon would have been a lot smoother if he'd been like, okay, here, let me measure. I'll grab yours. I'll grab hers. I'll see which one is bigger. I feel like he would have gotten, you know, more luck out of that.
Too Hot to Handle takes place in a different universe.
Yes. This is not the world that I know.
Well, you know, for so many of us, it's such a relatable problem that everybody here in this world has, where that there's so many suitors nonstop, and then it's just this Amazon Alexa preventing anybody from getting together.
I mean, that's probably what a lot of people are going through in quarantine, Rob. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their Alexa just pops up. Whoa, you just lost $3,000. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. That's probably what it's like for some people. It's like, oh, I matched on Tinder, but I quarantine. Now, do I risk it or?
I mean, I
for the record,
have like.
I was going to say that all these people are violating quarantine. There's no chance anybody who's appearing on this show is not going on Tinder dates right now.
Oh. Haley is on the beach in Florida right now.
She's at spring break.
I am worried about her, on the beach. To be honest.
She might have taken a day off.
Well, and the thing is it's like, as a single woman, I'll like lightly look at the apps for maybe 5 minutes at a time before I realize I hate everyone alive and I put them away. But I have seen people on these apps that are like, hey, the bars are closed, but we've got booze. Like, come over. No, and it's like,
that's not how it works.
That is how you get coronavirus and HPV. Yeah. And I think everybody should not be doing that.
Are you saying Tinder is not an essential service?
Absolutely. And like, all the apps are also doing, like, normally you can like pay money so that you can swipe in a different location. Like, if you're going on vacation and you want to like line up some people. And now I'm getting all these notifications like, hey, we're doing it for free. You can set your notification to like wherever you're going to go after this. And I'm just like, who's out here looking for a pen pal? Because nope, I don't want a pen pal and I don't want a disease. So I just close the apps. So everybody should do the same.
Close it down. These people are not closing the apps.
They have nothing else to do. They are exclusively swiping.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Then we get a twofer. David and Harry show up. Two gentlemen from opposite hemispheres. Two accents coming in.
Yes. They have the two hemispheres, they say. And then David is like, I am a British gentleman. I just want to be a person that my mom would be proud of. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, hashtag, I love a sex party. I'm sure your mother is very proud, David.
Yeah. There's a lot of hashtags in this show. He gets hashtag loves a sex party. And I was really, wait, hold on. What does that say? Love is a sex party? What am I? That I really, that did not roll off the tongue. Loves
You're like
a sex party.
X party? What's an X party? And that's, so one of the things, like Netflix is going through kind of like a renaissance of reality TV right now. Yes. And I think that what's really successful about it is that they are leaning into how the UK does reality TV.
Yeah.
This is like very Love Island energy in like the messiness, the way the graphics are there, even like the location where they shoot their little intro, very reminiscent. Like, Netflix is doing it right because they're doing what the UK does. Like, I think if Netflix tried to go into like the ultra competitive, like the Challenge, Survivor, Big Brother, like, I don't think it will work as well. Mm-hmm. But this is just, it's perfect. And there's like such bingeable shows. Like, man, Netflix, they know what they're doing. They need to just stop doing everything else and just do reality.
Okay. All right. Netflix is on top of the ball. Could we just go back to the sex party? This is a party
that you
go to, and then everybody's having sex at this party.
My assumption would be that it's a party you go to and you will have many opportunities to have sex at the party. Okay. Certainly, I've never been invited to a sex party, so I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
So I can't give you the hard facts on that. Yeah, but
I don't get invited to a regular party.
I mean, nobody should be going to parties right now anyway. Right. So we're okay. The ones who are winning now.
Nobody has it tougher than the Too Hot to Handle singles right now.
I'm worried about them. Are they okay? Are they healthy? Because they've probably gone out. Like, are they sick? They need to go back to the retreat for their own safety and for the public safety.
They needed to be sequestered together. They needed to go back there and then just like smash Lana with a baseball bat.
I bet they kind of like Lana by the end of it. They're probably just like,
only Matthew does.
They're like, Lana, don't look. Like, cover your eyes, Lana. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see what's happening next.
Okay. So let's talk about Harry, who I think takes the cake for being our dumbest cast member here.
So Harry is a very attractive man, but he's a very dumb man.
He's very dumb.
He walked in and I said, oh, I find him very hot. And then my second thought was, because I find him very hot, he is made of red flags and I must stay away because that is the trend in my life. And he's like, oh yeah, I DM celebrities all the time, but they never DM me back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was confused what he said. I think he said, oh yeah, I hit everything and I'm in and he's like, and then he's like, but they don't write back. I'm like, oh, I thought he was saying that he had a relationship with these people.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I hit up the Kardashians. I hit up Lady Gaga. I hit up everyone. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, but like they don't answer me back. Like, they've probably never read his DMs. But then he's like, but anyone else, I slide into their DMs and I hear back right away, which means he's doing something right.
He's cheeky, he says. He goes to bars and he just yells out things like cockatoo, and then women swarm to him.
No, he said he is a cockatoo.
Oh, he is a cockatoo.
He yells out crikey.
I'm sorry. I got confused.
How dare you get that wrong?
If he just yelled cockatoo.
I mean, I think like the whole appeal is he yells out something stereotypically Australian.
Yes.
And then I think Harry's also the one who says he loves accents. Mm-hmm. And so there's not really any other Australians there. So everyone has an accent to him. So he's really hit a gold mine here.
They've brought back an ensemble cast from around the world. I mean, this really is like the United Nations of horniness here on Too Hot to Handle. That we've found the horniest person in every part of the world and brought them together.
I was just going to say United Nations who?
Yes.
they were like
a horny organization.
They were like, we are not going to stop with just Americans and then maybe we'll bring in Canadians for season two. They were like, no.
Yeah.
We want the thirstiest people. We don't care where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
We just want thirsty hot dummies.
Show. Yeah. Here is your Canadian representative, Kirsten. Here's Francesca from British Columbia.
And she, I think, is like probably the hottest one out of everybody. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I really think my personality is my best asset.
Yeah.
But then she's like, but then eyes go to the boobs. Like, my face is okay.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what?
She closed on like, I think my face is okay.
And I don't need this false humility from the hottest people alive. Just tell us you know you're hot. Mm-hmm. Please don't try to lean on your personality. Yeah. That's not what we're here
We've
for.
Seen
That's
her for
not
two
what
episodes.
You're here for.
Personality, not the best trait for Francesca. Not even an okay personality. Personality.
I mean, can you say it's okay if they don't really have one?
Yeah, there's little personality to speak of.
I mean, I'm hoping that we get to see more of their personalities like as we go. I've heard that the show just gets better and better as you go.
Okay, good.
So hopefully we get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
Then Matthew comes in.
Matthew from Colorado.
The hippie.
Yes. What's his deal, Kirsten?
I mean, he's deep. He thinks about everything a lot. Okay. Mm-hmm. He thinks about everything, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. But like walking out on a beach in like baggy clothes and a hat, and then he like whips out his hair and it like,
yeah,
didn't look good.
I've seen some comparisons on Twitter that people say this guy's like a young coach.
I heard that he looks just like Jesus.
Yes, so they talk about that a lot. There's a honestly, lot of Jesus jokes for
it's
Matthew.
Very apt. He could be Coach and he could be Jesus.
Yeah, he's a deep thinker. He talks about he wants to spill his seed and impregnate as many women as possible.
Yeah, I thought he might have said that, and I was really hoping that I was wrong and that he didn't say that, so I didn't write that down.
Although, strangely enough, though, he's one of the people that once the twist happens, he's the most, like, turned off, seemingly, through two episodes about it. Really, him and Kels that we'll talk about, they are the two people that become, like, the ultimate narcs about, like, there's no hanky-panky. And he seems to then shift his feelings to Lana, the virtual assistant.
Well, so my theory on this is that Matthew currently lives in like a car or something.
Yeah, and he needs
like a down payment on an apartment or like a security deposit or something. So it really matters a lot to him is what I'm thinking. Also, I didn't really get the sense that anybody was all that attracted to Matthew.
No.
I feel like it's very easy to be up on the high ground of like, oh yeah, I'm doing this for everybody. I'm not going to slip up when like nobody wants to make out with him. Mm-hmm. So it's not that hard.
Yeah. My favorite Matthew moment was there is a point where him and Kels are talking like the next day about that he's saying that he has a thing for Chloe, I think it is. And they're talking about like, well, do you see yourself with her like long term? And he's like long term. And
he's like, I don't believe in marriage.
Yeah. And he's like, no, they're like long term, like 4 weeks from now. And he's like, Matt, oh, no way. No, Matt, that's be in a relationship for 4 weeks. Are you kidding?
Yeah. For these people, 4 weeks is a long term relationship. And that, I mean, explains a lot about all of them.
Yeah, that would be too long. And then we get two more women coming in. We get Rhonda. She's from Georgia, and then we have Nicole from Ireland, who's a little bit the purple person on the show.
Yeah, we really don't see a lot of her. I think she gets like one like diary room where she's like, so I guess I can't have sex, and that was not my plan coming into this, and that's like all you get from her.
Yeah. I think she was the person that she was like, she had a confessional where she was like, oh wow, like he's so attractive, and I can't do it in an Irish accent, but she's like, I'd like to get down and dirty with him, if you know what I mean. And the narrator was like, yeah, you're really not being subtle at all, like we all get what you mean.
That's like yeah, down and dirty is, it's just a phrase. That's not even an illusion. It's just, we know exactly what you mean. It's okay.
Like, wink, wink, if you catch my drift. Like, no, we got it.
She's like, I want to have sex with him, if you know what I mean. And it's like, yeah, we know. Rhonda, I liked a lot in her intro. She's like, yeah. I need a guy who has a job. Like, the bar is underground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, maybe in these circles, that's like a high bar to clear.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about these mad swiping sex circles. Well, look, so
that, to spend this much time in the gym and on dating apps, like I think that a job seems very hard to hold down, to be as in shape as some of these people are. How do you also find time to work?
Well, and they can't afford to eat, so they're extra shredded. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it honestly adds up.
Yeah. Rhonda, I do feel like, is the belle of the ball here.
Everybody is in
Rhonda. The most suitors coming her way
immediately. Mm-hmm. Everyone. And I was surprised because like originally when Francesca first walked in, all of the guys just went to talk to her and left the women by themselves. And Rhonda like got attention right away, but not as much at like the first impression. So it leads me to believe she probably is like they're all hot. Like she's super hot, but like she probably has a much better personality in that after they actually talk to each other, now she's got a lot of people interested in her.
Yeah. Also, Rhonda, very thirsty.
Oh, super thirsty.
Very, very thirsty. There's not a guy that she talks to that she isn't like, oh, I'd like to get with this guy too.
Well, and we forgot to mention also David's like whole thing is putting sunscreen on people.
Yes, well, I don't think he's put sunscreen on anybody yet.
No, he did when he first walked in. Oh, he whipped out a bottle of sun lotion. He's like, hey, can I?
Is that air freshener or sunscreen? Watch out. But that, yeah, that's a thing where it's like, hey, I am the skin cancer police here, everybody. There's nothing, there's no shame in my game here. I just want to make sure everybody has SPF 15.
Yeah, it's he's the most like nurturing and protective one because he's got the sunscreen.
Yeah. And then finally we have Kel comes in. Yes, Kels, who's really presented as he is the ultimate alpha. He is the king. He is like Zeus, that he says he's a lion and he watches the Lion King. Although he is also the person where, you know, he talks about his whole demeanor. He's alpha. He could have anybody he wants. He's not going to chase anybody. But once they announce that there's money up for grabs, then he is the most like, shut it down. I better not see anybody talking about it. He is not interested at all in anybody after the point that they announce that money is on the line.
And that is the most alpha move of all. Yeah. He probably wants some money to expand his lion tattoo.
Maybe. Yeah, Kels is like, I have sex all the time. I have no money. Like, this is...
Yeah, so this is easy. He's like, I'll get the money, and then it will be easier to get the sex later.
But he says that he actually has played FIFA more times than he's had sex. There's a lot of, like, allusions to people's numbers.
Yeah, who was it who said that, who was like, well, it's less than 1,000.
I think that was Kels.
Was that Kels? Okay.
Less than 1,000 times.
Well, and that's a thing, too, that often will happen on Love Island. Like, after the couples are established, they'll do, like, a newlywed type game where it's like, okay, now you have to guess, like, your person's number. And they'll be like, oh, well, they told me it's 30. And then the person's like, 144. And then the person's like, why didn't you tell me that? Like, stuff like that. Honestly, 144 is probably a low estimate for a Love Island person. Yeah. But like stuff like that happens a lot on Love Island. So I enjoy that'll come back to bite probably.
And Kirsten, you would think that Kels would have this number down since he is going to brand himself with the nickname hashtag the accountant. The ultimate alpha sex god nickname.
Hashtag. Like, you just have, like, a chart. Well, and the Brian Scali is in the chat right now with a very good point of who is counting how many times?
Yeah, 1,000 times or 1,000 people, Brian Scali wants to know. I guess if you are the accountant, you probably are counting times. I think most conventionally, I think that it's normally people that get counted.
Yeah, normally people talk about their body count, not about, like... Mm-hmm. Number of times.
Okay. All right.
Are you regretting this yet, Rob?
No. Fine.
So everyone comes in and then they get 12 hours where they get to just do whatever they want and I guess experience the TV show they thought they were signing up for.
Yeah.
Before the news is going to be broken to them. And it's a lot of nothing. But the one thing they do is their little blindfold game.
Yeah, they do have a blindfold game, right?
So essentially, someone puts on a blindfold, and then whoever is interested in them will come make out with them.
Yeah, this is
and then you
so
have to
weird.
Guess who it is.
Because they made it seem like, oh, these people are so horny. Look at what they do when left to. And it's like, no, they didn't show up with like a bag full of blindfolds. Like, definitely, like production told them to do this game. Like.
Well, and like to me this was like pretty tame. Like Love Island will do where it's like, okay, every like one at a time people will get blindfolded and like say it's the women being blindfolded, then every single man will kiss them and they have to rank their kissing skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like award like the best kisser. So for it's like for each person to get kissed once, it's like whatever, it's nothing.
Yeah. This is, you know, a wild party that's going on here with the blindfold and the kissing. And there was no like sort of like jockeying for, hey, like I called it, like I'm first. Like there was no like bakery type setup where, okay, I called this person or I'm first in line.
I mean, they honestly should have just played spin the bottle. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have actually caused some drama.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on this one, like, I think the only thing that really happened was Harry thought that Francesca had kissed him, but it had been Chloe.
Yeah.
That's not that exciting.
Also, before Chloe seemed upset. I felt bad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Chloe did seem upset.
It's like, you could do better than Harry.
Yeah, but Harry, I think, is the tallest one there, which is important.
So then also we had like a little bit of a jockeying for the attention of Rhonda, where David came in with his move of, hey, I need to put sunscreen on you. Then really made sure that she was completely protected in all areas, even where literally the sun doesn't shine, that she needed to make sure that we got that area covered as well. And then but here comes Sharon, and I thought, okay, Sharon, maybe he's drawn dead here, maybe after David. But no, that because it seemed like that she was not as interested in. And then I was blown away that he went in for the kiss. I'm like, oh, she doesn't like this, but she did.
Yeah, it was I was totally blindsided. I really was like, oh, OK, well, she has like the sunscreen connection. But obviously,
no.
We just don't understand these people.
Because he went in at like an awkward angle where like he was like, I'm like, this is not happening. But you know,
it was very weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But Sharon called his shot, too. He said that he has so much game and watch this, and he was going to go in there. And then he's a super. And she even said, oh, he's super confident. That's my ideal guy.
Well, and I feel like it's one of those things, though, in this situation, like I'm sure Sharon does very well in the real world, but he is currently in an atmosphere where all of the people came in with that same mindset. Like, I think he probably would have had luck with almost any of these women just based on the fact that they're all like the same like kind of person.
Yeah, it's he was amongst talented peers.
Oh my god.
So it seemed also that there was like an issue also where they had to like arrange the pillows. It seemed like maybe the air freshener was getting in the way also.
Yeah, it was you cover that up, don't let that bother me. And that's, you know, before anything goes crazy.
Yeah. And so ultimately, we get to the end of night one with the big twist where we find out that it's going to be $100,000 for no sex, nothing of any kind. Who do you think reacted to the news the worst, Kirsten?
Oh, I mean, all of them, it was like the world was ending. Like, not one of them had the reaction of like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like, oh, there's a twist. Like on like X on the Beach, they find out, oh, surprise, you're on X on the Beach. And all of them are like, oh, this sucks. But like, these people are truly, it was like the world was ending. I think Harry in particular, probably because he and Francesca had
seemed close,
you know, getting hot and heavy right before. But yeah. Like, truly, all of these people were like, what? And then when it was like, and no self-gratification,
that was the last straw for some of these people, where it seems like that this was not allowed. And they were like, wait, what? I can't even? Like, no word on how they're monitoring this.
I mean, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's one of those things where, like, you would get caught. It's like just when people know when stuff happens on Big Brother, right?
But
I think a lot of them were.
do they have this rule on Big Brother? And I don't know if they got into this with you, Kirsten, from Big Brother Canada production. But is this already a rule? Is it just frowned upon? Is it not frowned upon?
The only thing I know is that you are not allowed to bring any aids for your self-gratification.
Got it.
But I don't think it's against the rules.
Was this a big part of the plan for a lot of these people coming in handle?
I think so. I think these people were like, well, first of all, they came in thinking, oh, I'm going to have a lot of sex. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, okay, sex is off the table. And they're like, oh, that's fine. I'll just take care of it. And then I'll get rid of all the frustrations and be fine. We've got this. And then they were like, no, you can't do that. And they were like, oh, I was so sneaky. Yeah. I had the perfect plan.
Yeah. Sharon, I think, even tells everybody, he's like, I should have knocked one out yesterday. What was I thinking?
And I just, you know, I feel like most of them probably did, even just like in preparation for what was going to happen. So they really screwed up.
Yeah. Yeah. They were probably like in training for that. They thought they were coming into this like sexual Olympics, and now no chance of sex for anybody tonight.
And again, I feel for all of these people. Like, yeah. They don't know what else to do.
Yeah. So that our heroes actually talk about, they try to explain what this is like. I'm not sure if this is Kells who makes this analogy. He says, basically, it's like being a superhero and then going to a place where you don't have your superpower anymore, where these people are the best people in the world at getting the sex, and now this superpower has been taken from them. They are just mere mortals again.
Yes, and I mean, I can't think of a more apt comparison, mm-hmm. honestly. And like the one thing that is brought up is that it's like, you guys have meaningless sex. You don't have deep relationships.
Yes.
So the purpose of this show is that you will learn how to have real relationships, because you cannot enter, like, mm-hmm. have the, you know, the physical aspect. And I mean, that's a cute thing to say and all, but I mean, that's, they're young and hot. Who cares if they're having meaningless sex?
Right. I dislike that the show tries to like have like this moral high ground of like, hey, like this is a trashy reality show. We're all on board. Don't make it like that. We're going to learn a lesson after this. Don't tell me that somewhere at the end of this, Sharon and Harry have completely changed their tune and are only having deep, meaningful relationships. Don't tell me Sharon isn't still texting the air freshener picture 7 times a day to people.
Yeah, he's gonna Snapchat it straight to Chloe when this is all over.
Especially,
okay?
These people were out there like this before they were on TV. Now, add some reality star fame into the mix. Listen, the quarantine might be the only thing that saves these people. These people might have been dead if not for the quarantine.
I mean, but we all know they're breaking quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just might have fewer opportunities because the fans won't be meeting them at the bar to do so.
Yes. We have to hope that the fans are protecting themselves from themselves.
Yes. Please, everyone who's a fan of this show,
mm-hmm.
just stay in your house.
Stay in your house. Okay. It's also, I thought this was weird, Kirsten, that like in just like 10 minutes into the second episode, like they just like reset the whole show and just started doing like a preview again. Like, yeah, no, we already watched it. Like, who's jumping in on episode 2? Did I just walk in the room?
Yeah, the second episode had weird pacing. At one point I was like, am I watching the third episode right now? And then I was like, oh no, still the second episode, it's just mm-hmm. longer than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, just very bizarre. They also, like, they're like, oh, I can't believe they gave us so many condoms and we're not even allowed to have
condoms.
Sex.
They really did, yeah.
I mean, they knew that these people were not going to follow the rules. Like, they're looking out for them because they won't look out for themselves.
Yeah, and also, these people are rule breakers. They probably weren't using condoms anyway, right?
That's a really good point.
Do you think that they're all like, oh, we didn't have a condom? That was stopping anybody on this show?
You're right. And they certainly weren't out there using flavored condoms, okay?
At one point, they were just like, we're so bored. Let's just see what these taste like.
They were like, oh, I've never tasted a flavored condom before.
Yeah.
Let's crack them open and see. Yeah, it was weird. They're like passing them around to like share the flavor. That was very surreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The second episode really was all about temptation. And we saw how a couple of these couples where we've talked about how Harry that he was really getting close to Francesca. We talked about Sharon and that he was getting closer and closer with Rhonda. Chloe and David starts to be a thing by the end of this episode. But it really comes down to a lot of the action centers around Harry and Francesca, where Harry sort of gets alone with Francesca and is like, we should just hook up. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, and we're here.
And he's literally like, we should just have sex. We should just have sex.
Yeah, it's we already kissed now. Yeah.
Even before they kiss, though, he's not even like, oh, let's kiss. He's like, we should just have sex. We should just have sex. That's what we should do. It's like the only thing he knows how to say. So finally, Francesca's like, oh, I need to kiss you. So she kisses him or he kisses. He leans in weird. I don't know. And then from that moment, he's like, well, we already broke the rules once. We might as well go all the way. We should just have sex.
Just have sex now. That's fine. Let's just, and she's like, I'd like to, I really would, but we won't.
And what's crazy is that they lose $3,000 of the $100,000 prize pot just from a kiss.
Yeah.
Like, it is a steep penalty these people.
Steep penalty.
I think that Netflix had no intention of giving them a prize.
No, they're going to owe them money to Netflix. Okay, let me just stop down for a second as we thank our sponsor before we continue here talking about Too Hot to Handle with a message from our sponsor over at ZipRecruiter, Kirsten, because right now, with everything going on, we can't be overwhelmed. We have to work to keep our loved ones safe and protect our communities. We have to work to stay strong, to stay connected. We have to work to innovate and to build new solutions. But for all of this to work, we have to work together. And at ZipRecruiter, they connect employers and people every day. But today is different. They're partnering with first responders, innovators, government officials, the medical community, manufacturers, transportation, and the food distribution and delivery to make sure they're finding the right people for the right jobs right now. So let's work together. ZipRecruiter.com/work together. Kirsten, I'm very excited because we do have a guest here to talk with us today about what's going on Too Hot to Handle. I wanted to bring in a person who has a really a great area of expertise in all forms of dating and is a renowned dating expert to talk with us about what's going on this show. We're very excited to bring in a woman who truly knows best. The great Nora Salmon is here to talk with us. Nora, how are you?
Hi, guys.
Nora, thank you. What a nice backdrop you have, Nora. So classy and elegant.
Let me tell you, I just moved out of my parents' house. I've been living there for 3 years. And today happened to be the day that I was like, I'm a free woman. And then I was like, oh, I got to talk to Rob today. So literally, this is my first time being here. And
yes,
I'm a free woman.
Yes. Okay. Yay. Nora is free and here to talk with us about Too Hot to Handle. And so, Nora, first off, how's everything going? You're free. You're out of your parents' house. Everything is good.
It's the entrepreneur life. You do what it takes to survive. And I needed to do that for a while. And now I am free. Yes. I have my own home. And I'm excited because I'll say dating doesn't do very well when your date has to come to the front door and join for drinks and appetizers and 20 questions before your date even begins.
That's not great.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, that's not what you want.
All right. Well,
Nora. What's up, Kristen?
Hi, Nora.
Nora, we're so happy that you could join us because if things can't get back to normal, I'm glad that we can at least get back to normal and talk to you a little bit about what's going on here. And I reached out to you earlier this week and you said that, look, Rob, I don't normally watch TV. I'll watch this show for you. And you checked it out and said, look, Rob, I'm not the person that you want, that you'll lose your Netflix sponsor if I come on and talk about the show because I don't care for these people. And then we were talking right before I said, no, Nora, I'm not sponsored by these people. You could say whatever you want.
I literally left you a voicemail yesterday that you haven't heard yet. And for those of you that don't know, I am from born and raised in London till I was 11. So I left a message in my British accent and I said, Rob, these are a bunch of cheeky monkeys, and I'm extremely sorry, but they are extremely vulgar, and I will not be able to watch this show. Mm-hmm. I really apologize, and I love you, and ta-ta.
Yes. Okay. All right. But Nora, you're still here. So that's why. That's what's so wonderful about you, and you were willing to give it a second chance. So,
right. Nora, I'm here to yeah, play.
So Curtis and I basically talked about what was going on in the first episode and a half of the show. Well, what's your take on the premise of this show? Did Netflix have a good idea here with this inviting all these people to the retreat?
I love the idea that in this modern day, we're going to have to slow things down. I mean, yes. they kind of get you where it's like, we're going to ramp things up and it's hot people and you're not wearing much and you're going to live in a house together. And so everyone's already like fast forwarding, like, oh, I know what this is about.
Yes.
And I like how it's going to be like, stop the music. You know, there are going to be limits. And I like that they're actually going to roll things back and slow things. Because in this world that we're living in, not to go back to Survivor, but that game has evolved into fast speed mm-hmm. to the point where the old players can't keep up with it. And that's what's going on in dating. It's like, oh, there are a lot of steps that we're skipping. And I really love that it's like, yeah, you can't go beyond this line. And I think that concept is needed for a lot of people.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So you feel like, so that for younger people, Nora, that like the everything is app, swipe, 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 fast.
Instant gratification.
Yes.
Netflix and chill at the swipe of a button. Yeah.
Yes. Kirsten, do you agree with that? That Netflix has a good idea here to try to take dating and slow it down?
I mean, I think in general, it's probably a good idea, but I mean, I don't like a show moralizing at us. That's the purpose, you know? Like, I just feel like I think it's a great concept, but I wish that they had just done it rather than being like, we're doing it and it's because of this reason. Mm-hmm. Like, that, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, wow. Okay.
That's the only thing. Like, I feel like we all get the point. We understand why they're doing it. They don't need to spell it out for us.
Yeah.
Well, although, but maybe they do. Maybe they think the people watching Too Hot to Handle are as dumb as the people on Too Hot to Handle. They have to spell it out, which is fair. It's possible. Like, am I getting dumber by the minute? It's probably.
Yeah.
No.
But I'm having fun.
Yes. Nora, did you feel like you were getting dumber watching Too Hot to Handle?
I was like, Mom, I have to watch this show. Do you want to watch it with me? And she's like, okay. Because her favorite thing to do is like make an amazing dinner, sit down, watch something entertaining. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, we're going to watch this. And she just keeps looking over at me like, are you serious? Do we continue? Do we keep going? And I mean, there's a guy talking about his penis being the size of an aerosol spray can,
yeah.
Like air freshener. There you go. And I was like, we're like, did he just say that? I was like, T-Bar rewind. Like, yeah, he said that. So, like, I do believe you are a product of what you do over and over again. And yes, if you're going to watch this show for a full hour, what's going to happen to you? I don't know. I was like, I was halfway through. I was like, I should just not watch this anymore.
Yeah. Oh my, so we'll check back in on Friday after the whole series has been watched, after Rob and I have seen all of it, and then we'll see if we're noticeably, you know, less intelligent than we were when it started.
Like an IQ test today, Kirsten, and then we'll see what if our IQ has gone down by the end of the week.
But Rob, like, you're a married man with two young kids. So I would love to hear your perspective, because my mother was married for 20 years to my dad, and now she's remarried to her Match.com boyfriend.
Oh.
And they've been together for over 11 years, super happily married. And, you know, they have she has a very, like, I think, well-rounded, like, perspective, and she's very open-minded. But what is your perspective when you see these young people that are like early 20s doing this?
I'm very much enjoying the show. It definitely appealed to me enough that I said I want to podcast it. I tried to get my wife to watch it. She did not seem to be super interested. The first lady of podcasting, she did not see it. At one point it looked like that maybe she wasn't going to have to work last night, that there was a chance that maybe she wasn't going to have to go in. And I was like, oh, great. Well, now you can watch Too Hot to Handle with me. She was like, oh, great. She did not seem interested. This is not her kind of show. She does not like watching dumb people.
I feel like, if anything, Nicole's thoughts are the ones I would most want to hear, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does not like seeing people. It infuriates her. Stuff like we can laugh about it. Like, she gets angry about things this. And Nora, the other problem I had was I was trying to watch this show last night, and then my older son kept coming to my office and being like, Dad, what is this show? I was like, I really can't explain it.
This one is not for young children.
He's close your ears and close your eyes and exit that way.
Yeah. So what is this? I was like, They're just going on dates. That's it. It's boring.
But let me tell you, I lived in Miami for over 3 years. Yes. And I will say some of my first dates were literally me in a bikini. No joke. And I feel like a hypocrite because there were some guys I met where it was like I was at the beach. They were swiping me and they were like, hey, I saw that like we're near each other. Like, do you want me to come say hi? And I was like, yeah, we're on the beach at this hotel. Da da da. And I've actually had a few dates in my bikini. So I am a hypocrite to say, what the heck? Mm-hmm. However, that is like the lifestyle there. And it's like very normal to be like, yeah, we're hanging out here. And it's like, if you were at a bar with your friends and you want them to just stroll by, so it's not like a big endeavor to meet them for the first time. But honestly, a lot of socialization does happen like that in mm-hmm. Miami.
Okay. All right. So that, and nobody from Miami is in the show, Nora.
Haley's from Florida, though.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Sorry.
Haley, yeah. How dare sorry, you not sorry, remember Haley, okay?
I forgot about her. Now, Nora, I know you've also worked in finance. You're an entrepreneur. Do you think if you were out there, that would you be very much enforcing that nobody is screwing things up and affecting the money, the prize pool?
The thing is, first of all, 100K is not that much. Mm-hmm. So you're like, well, yes, correct. And so you're like, all right, well, what, it's kind of like, what do I give to get? And so when you think about how much it's going to dilute, I actually think I would have a lot less fun if I'm like, you're not collecting coconuts, you're not collecting sticks on your mm-hmm. walk. You know, if I'm like the one saying, you know, trying to enforce everyone, I'm not going to have a great time. And they're probably going to do it anyway mm-hmm. when I can't see it. So honestly, I think you just go there and have fun and not expect to win anything. So,
Nora, I love that you brought it back to Survivor and you were very much on top of, okay, hey, you got to go out and get the coconuts and you're not working hard around the camp. Do you feel like that after going through your Survivor experience and feeling like that, oh, that created a lot of friction with people to be such an enforcer, that that changed the way that you would handle this type of situation?
The thing is, you can only pretend to not be yourself for so long. Mm-hmm. So I'm a very outspoken person. I don't work for anyone else. I work for myself and I have people work for me. So I'm used to being like that. And yes, it's actually well received. Like, oh, Nora, what do you think? And what should we do? And how do we, that's what I do for a living. Like, I get paid to improve people's situation, whether it's financial or it's health. Like, people are like, what do I do next? Like, they like it. And everyone, and now when you're in a room with people that are like, don't tell me what to do, it's like, okay, how do I live in this environment? Mm-hmm. But you do learn, you know, there are times when it's worth saying something and there's times when it's not. Mm-hmm. But that's a good example of, okay, they're in a situation. We need to build a shelter. If we don't have a shelter, we're all in trouble. So I think usually if one person voices it, usually some people will bring it in if they have a similar feeling, but they're too afraid to be the first to do it.
Nora, did you have one particular guy that was your favorite that was on this show?
They're so young that they don't appeal to me. Mm-hmm. In general, they're like boys to me. However, mm-hmm. I did like the guy that came in with the most clothes. I like that he's like,
who's Matthew?
Yeah.
Wow.
You see, he has a peekaboo effect that girls have lost. The girl with her boobs popping up under her top is the complete opposite end of the spectrum. And this guy's like, you don't know what hairstyle's under here. You don't know what these Aladdin pants have going on. Is there like a thong under here? Is there nothing under here? Like, I was like intrigued by him. Like, yes. Don't give us everything right now.
Okay.
Kirsten. This is insane. I'm floored because Nora, you weren't here, but Rob and I were both just like, who is this guy? What's he doing? Like, what's this hippie's problem? Like, mm-hmm. what's his hair when he brought it out from under his hat? Like, he should have at least had it like looking. He's like, yeah, I wash my hair sometimes. And I was like,
oh, yeah, sometimes.
Hasn't been a while, buddy. Like, doesn't mm-hmm. look like it. Like, I'm shocked. But you know what?
He's deep.
It just goes to show everybody has different types.
Yeah.
And Nora wants a deep person who thinks about everything all the time, and that's fine.
Nora wants a mystery to unravel. like Matthew.
I was excited. I was like, oh, what's under here?
Yeah. What's he all about?
And he seemed older. Like he seemed a little wiser and older.
Well, and I feel like when he first came out, it was like a moment of like, oh, who is this? But then it was like, as the layers were kind of unraveling, I was like, I got less and less.
Interesting.
Intrigued. Like I was like, oh, no. But I famously hate everyone, so that's fine.
Really? Okay, so Kristen, how about you? Was there a guy that stuck out for you that you were like, okay, it's worth watching the show to learn more about this one?
Okay, well, so that is not why I watch these shows. just to be clear. But as I was saying earlier, I personally very much like very tall people. So I found Harry very attractive. But to me also, the minute I find someone attractive, I'm like, they're made of red flags. I need to back away because it always bites me in the butt. Mm-hmm. So I think Harry is very hot, but as we've seen, he's very dumb and bad. So
does he not look like a boy to you though? Like, I feel like it's like almost prepubescent. Like, I don't feel like I'm allowed to be attracted to him.
How old is, okay, I need to look up how old Harry is now. Cause now I'm afraid that I'm a predator.
Yeah. Nora Klatt. Yeah, he does look very young, and he also acts very young. He does seem like
he acts like he is a child.
He seems like a teenager.
Very
he's
worried
lucky
about
he
that.
Has his accent. That's what makes him
okay. So he's 23, which is 23. Very young. Okay. But I'm only 27, so I feel I am allowed to think that he is cute. Though I would never ever pursue a 23-year-old.
Okay.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay.
So that Harry that we're talking about, Nora, that he ends up having this situation in the second episode where he ends up having a kiss with one of the women, Francesca, and that she and him.
Oh, she's hot.
Yes.
She's women hot.
Yes.
Nora, I want to ask Nora a question. So, Nora, they lose money from the 100,000 every time something happens. How much money do you think a kiss loses from the pot?
It's so funny. You read my mind, Kristen. I was going to say, so wait, how much does a kiss equal and how much does sex equal? And, you know.
So what would you think a kiss would be worth?
Well, let me ask you this. If it's 100K and they have total how many people?
10.
10. So it's like each of you equal 10K. So like if I'm worth 10K, a kiss better be like 1,000 or 2,000, like not more than that. So I can have a little indiscretion and be like, oh, that was good. Now I'm like pacified.
Okay.
Well, Kristen, it's 3,000. So you were close.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
See, I thought
I wish
crazy.
It was one or two.
No, it should be $30. they're going to be out of money soon. The money is going to be gone.
What happens when it's all out? What happens? Do they all have to go home?
I think they owe
they
Netflix
have to
money.
Start, yeah, they pay Netflix.
They have to start working there. It's like, you guys all owe us $30,000 at the end of the show. They have to work
for Netflix
going
out of
for
their
year.
If they're getting an appearance fee as well, it starts coming out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
You go negative. That was just a draw. Now you're going against your draw.
Yeah. So Nora, it ends up being revealed to the entire group of, hey, everybody, just so you know that there was a kiss. Kristen, does Lana, disembodied assistant, does she reveal which two people it was?
No, she does not. She just says, like, there has been a thing. There was a kiss. But because at this point, Francesca had already told Haley, and then Harry had told all of the men, so everybody knew who had kissed anyways. And this is where we get a big fight, because Harry told the men that Francesca had kissed him, but really he had kissed her. So then they start screaming at each other in the middle, like... I was very drawn into this fight because I was like,
but
it's so funny because he looks like the youngest and she looks like the oldest of the girls. And it's kind of funny that they were the ones that were like, yeah, we're going for it.
Yeah. But everybody believed Harry, like, oh, Harry's a nice guy. He wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And that if he said that she tried to kiss him, we believe Harry. And then it's like Francesca. She seems like she'd be a liar.
I honestly. misogyny. Literally, people, what, how many times do we have to tell you to believe women? Like, I'm not kidding.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kristen. Yeah. Kirsten. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yes, Kirsten.
Sorry. I can't read.
Yeah. I, it's fine.
Yeah. And then, yeah, got kind of like nasty. Like, I kind of felt like, oh, well, they're not going to believe. Like, he definitely seems like the dumbest and horniest person here. Like, they'll yeah. believe her. But no, they didn't. I think the other women didn't love Francesca.
Yeah, it was very, very strange. But what came out of this that was so brilliant is there's kind of this thread that it seems like Haley really has a crush on Francesca.
Yes.
And so she schemes with Francesca that they will kiss each other just to take $3,000 out of the pot to stir things up just to get people in trouble.
That's the cliffhanger for the second episode, where then Francesca, to get back at everybody who didn't believe her, then she and this other girl, Haley, decide we're going to get back at everybody by we're going to make out, then take out another $3,000.
Don't fight fire with fire. I don't think that was the way to do it, but
yeah.
Is there a time restriction? Like, is it that there's a clock ticking and after this many weeks, $100K or whatever's left of the $100K is yours?
I think it's a four week filming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kirsten, my favorite part of when they come up with this plan, Francesca and Haley. So Francesca's actually in the shower when this comes up. And I'm like, oh, was she going to go in there? And like, no, they wait for her to get out of the shower because they say, we have to do it in front of Lana. Because if we don't, because it's real and the thing sees us. And if we just were to kiss in the bathroom, the producers might miss it. So we need to go and go in front of the little glowing thing. And
well,
then,
it's just like when you talk to your Google Home, you have to walk straight up to it. You lean down and look at it and then you talk to it, because otherwise, how could it possibly hear you or see you? Like, it's completely brilliant. They had to do it in front of the plastic cone. Yes. And I won't hear any negativity towards my girl Haley, okay?
Kirsten, then by that logic, could I take a sweatshirt and put it over Lana?
Well, yeah, because if you can't see her, she can't see you. The logic is sound.
I think it makes sense. And so, Nora, then we'll find out in the next episode when they reveal to the group, okay, here, two people made out, and then nobody's going to suspect it was Francesca and Haley.
How much is sex? Okay, if kissing is $3,000.
Nora, how much
should
it be?
Nobody has had sex yet, so
we
don't know.
Well, I just felt that because I didn't make it so far in the first episode.
Yes.
So I thought like she would be like, these are the rules.
No, we never do.
No. Okay.
No. All right. So, Nora, how many fire tokens for then if people have sex on the Too Hot to Handle?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you know that a kiss is a slap on a wrist, you might go for it. And if you know sex is only a little bit more than kissing, then why aren't they just going to go and have sex?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be like sex is like 10 grand or more for sure.
Kiss is 3, sex is 10.
I think there has to be a substantial difference or else people are just going to go straight to sex.
Yeah. Is it compounded? Is it like,
yeah, I was going to say if they have sex, but also kiss during, do they lose an additional 3,000?
Because I feel like
this is a pretty woman. No, are kissing. They really separate activities?
Yes. I don't know. There was also a Kirsten that we didn't talk about, that David and Chloe went on a date, that the UK got together. And then they were having a date and they were like going to feed a strawberry to each other, but not kiss. They're really.
Yeah, so they Lady and the Tramped a chocolate covered strawberry, which it didn't work.
Yeah.
There was also like Chloe like dips her finger into the chocolate and David like sucks it off and it's like
that was the part I thought you were gonna bring up.
It's a family show.
I don't understand why they're going on dates on the show. It's weird.
Well, it was very strange too because all of a sudden like Chloe's in a room and Lana lights up and goes, "Hey, noticed you were flirting with David earlier. We've set up a date for you. It's just like there was no date card. Right. She didn't get to choose who she went on a date with. Production was like, you and David are going on a date. Cool. Here's a table that everybody can see where you will eat chocolate covered strawberries and drink champagne.
Nora, shouldn't they get money if they get through the date without any hanky panky?
I think there should always be bonuses along the way. Like, you have the grand game, and then you've got these little battles you can win along the way of the war.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Kirsten? Money goes back into the pot if you get through an activity.
You were good.
Yes. Without anything going on.
I like that a lot. I think that that adds a new layer of duplicity. Too hot to handle.
Because then you can be bad and then be good on your date with a person you don't really like. Be bad, be good, be bad. Yeah, then you can have your cake and eat it too.
Put money back into the pot.
Yeah, exactly. And then does Lana speak up and be like, okay, guys, well, you lost $10,000 today, but you earned back $9,000. Yeah. So
that's good. All right. Let's take some questions from the listeners. And then Nora, I want to hear some more from what you've had going on. And I know you have some tips for people right now who are in isolation, and we could really use some of your positivity, Nora.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So let's just take some questions. Scott St. Pierre is standing by, and let's open up a couple of these. George Barrett, just hearing about this, so it's like an NC-17 version of Love Island. Kirsten, if you were going to put a rating on this show, does it get an NC-17?
I don't think so. And also, this is someone who has clearly only watched U.S. Love Island, which was very tame compared to UK Love Island, where a lot
this
more
was
happened.
PG-13 at best.
Yeah, I think like this wasn't that. I feel like this was not that crazy.
Yeah,
like it's crazy, but like when you're rating it, it's not like it's rated R. Like this is,
yeah,
you know, like
if anything, I don't even know if there was a lot of cursing. I think I feel like it was like all like UK slang.
I mean,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fine. It wasn't like UK swearing. Like
Right.
It's not like The Challenge where it's like, F this, F that, bleep, 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 bleep. But you can't even hear what's going on that show.
Did you watch The Challenge?
I tried to watch it for the first time because everyone's like, you should go on that show. And I'm like, well, let me see if I like this show. Because I used to watch it way back.
Yeah.
And I wasn't loving it. I wasn't loving the bunker. I was like, are they in hell? Like, it's just heathens playing a game in hell. And you're so used to Survivor where you can see every shot and where everyone is in relation to one another. And I just felt like we've been spoiled by that I was like, I can't even see who's doing well in these challenges. And like, there are just so many levels that we get in Survivor that I wasn't seeing there. I was like, I don't know if this is for me.
Okay. But Nora, I just need to speak for the fans here at this moment. First of all, they're not normally in a bunker. They're normally in like a very nice house.
Right.
Second of all, you would be so good on the challenge if you get the opportunity. Like, I would literally die if you went on the challenge. I'd be so happy. I'd pick you first in every draft. And like, literally, for the good of everybody, I need to tell you this right now. We would love, like, you would be amazing. Like, incredible.
Thank you.
And you're so jacked too. Like, some people end up going challenge on and they're beast. Like, they're not like strong enough to do a lot of the challenges, but you, like, you're good on like living on less anyways.
I love
and
that. Yeah.
You're like so strong, and like you're mentally strong too with like the stubborn, like, oh my God, you'd be amazing. Like, you have to, if you get the opportunity, you have to do it.
Cause I'm telling you, I believe you should do what is coming at you. And just so many people kept saying, go on that show, go on that show. The other night I had a dream that I was sitting at a lunch table and it was like CT and like those older players. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I should actually say hi and like introduce myself and not make them feel like, you know, I want them to like lower their guard with me. And I sat down, I was like, you know what? I'm Nora. Like, and it, like, I chummed them and they like melted a little.
That was a sign. Like, literally,
like, that's why am I thinking about strategy of the challenge right now?
I need it. I didn't know I needed
get
it.
Get ready.
I'm gonna message Jay and be like, dude, tell me, how do we jump from our world to that world?
He broke the glass ceiling for survivors going on to the challenge. It's your turn, Nora.
Thanks, girl.
We truly. And like, I hope you know, like, I'm being 100% genuine here.
Yes. Okay.
I didn't even know you don't like people. So that you actually like me, you want to see me. I'm like, then I gotta do it.
Yes. That's true.
All right. A couple more questions. Elizabeth says, wasn't Matt on some reality modeling show back in the day? Kirsten, is this something that you know about? Do we know about?
I'm doing a quick Google search right now.
Yeah, have these people
talking about my Matt? My spiritual Matt?
Who's your spirit? Oh, yes.
Yes,
your,
the
your
one that you like.
My deep thinking Matt.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Apparently, he actually played Jesus in a movie.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's really funny. They're calling
him. Call him that.
They're calling him Matthew Jesus Smith in these articles.
Yeah.
Okay, an article, Everything You Need to Know. Yeah, this is not his first reality show. He was on America's Next Top Model in 2014.
Oh, look at that.
And wow. He has had background roles on New Girl, Young and the Restless.
Wow.
Stickers.
Mm-hmm. See?
Wow. He wrote a children's book. This man has layers. No, see? Like you, right?
He's great.
Hmm.
And he's the COO of a company that does content creation.
Oh, an entrepreneur too.
Yeah.
How old is he, Kirsten?
Hey, let's see if it says.
Maybe he's watching, Nora.
He might, actually.
Yes. Although he does say in the second episode that he doesn't want to be in a relationship longer than 4 weeks.
Oh, the first, actually, episode, he talks about how he thinks that he's supposed to spread his seed as far as it, yeah, far as it,
yes,
goes.
Yes.
He is 30.
Yes. Yeah.
The young buck like Dean, I don't think so. That's like a little chew toy for me.
Yeah. But Nora, didn't you say that when we talked after the season that you wanted to, you did want to start a family?
I do want to get married and have kids. Yes.
Okay. Hey, maybe. All right.
Yeah, Matt doesn't want to get married. He wants to leave a bunch of women to be single mothers, which is like,
yes. And he has
so
no money.
Up.
Yeah.
He should have a lot of money after all of that, but okay.
Okay. All right.
Well, we were joking earlier that he really cares about the money because he lives in a car or something. We didn't know he had all these businesses.
Yeah. Can't be that busy if he's going on Too Hot to Handle.
I mean, it's only 4 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then Adam Katz wants to know, is it possible that, like the circle, that it is super flirtatious at first? Kirsten, do you think that we'll see people then adjust to how things are on the island, where now people will start to back off and become like, there's a Seinfeld episode where a bunch of that, and I'll explain this because for our younger listeners. Yes, they have
everybody,
a contest.
Everybody knows about that.
And then everybody becomes very pent up and angry with one another. Do you think that we will see fights break out towards a couple of weeks from now and be very upset and angry with each other?
If these people had any sort of self-control, sure, but they're all just going to be hooking up, so they're not going to get to that level of anger and frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Because they're just going to go for it. Like, it's going to happen.
Okay. All right.
Honestly, just on that note, like what she's saying, I agree, because if you do nothing, if you just sit in your room all day and do nothing, you're going to only get 10K. That's not worth it. 10K, you get paid 10K to just be to yourself and 4 weeks of that.
And like, what we know from these reality shows is couples are more marketable. So it might make sense for them long term to just have like a showmance and then keep up appearances even afterwards for the sponsorships on Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Netflix, it seems like, Kirsten, like their whole strategy around reality is like, let's see if we can like get people into each other, but they can never hook up. The Circle, Love is Blind, this show. It seems like let's get people flirting, but then keep them like from actually consummating the relationship.
I would like to.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I just want to know, like, I feel like there's some sort of developer at Netflix who's got some personal issues that they're trying to work out through the new Netflix reality branch. And I'd like to ask if they're okay.
Oh my God, you're hilarious. I mean, let me ask you this. Those are the concepts. There's a bunch of shows like that they've done. Have we seen any successful relationships come out of it?
I don't know.
I think there's one couple that's married from Love is Blind, right? Yeah. I didn't watch that show, but they filmed that like a year and a half ago or something. Mm-hmm. And then they just had to all keep it secret until it finally aired in winter 2020.
Yeah. Nora, we need to ask Reem. She was saying that she watched all that Love is Blind.
Oh, I didn't even know she watched that show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know what she was talking about.
All right. So we're going to have more Love is Blind coverage coming this week. Kirsten will have recaps of episodes 3 and 4.
No, too hot to handle.
I'm sorry. Love is Hot to Handle. I'm getting so confused. Episodes 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. And we'll all get back together for to talk about the finale. Kirsten, anything else you want to say about these first two episodes?
I just want to say that I have heard that it continues to just get better and better.
Good.
I'm excited to see what happens when we have the grenades.
The grenades coming are coming.
In,
yeah,
which is what they call the new people. Yeah. Through the course of this podcast, I noticed I did fully watch episode 3 by accident.
Yes.
So
okay,
that's great news for
Do
me.
We know, are the grenades coming in? And the grenades can hook up with anybody they want. And do you lose money if you hook up with the grenades?
So at the end of episode 3, the first grenade comes in and the person comes in just the same as all of the original cast members come in, thinking that they are going to have a fun, sexy time. And then the contestants have to tell them the rules, which is it's a good moment. So you cannot hook up with the grenades. You will still lose money. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the grenades last and stay in the game or not,
yeah,
but
they might leave.
It could just further dilute the prize pool. Then it's like, well, now I'm not even getting 10K. So like,
maybe you try to get somebody. There should be a point where then if anybody has sex, then they are off the show.
Like, yeah, can you get kicked off for anything?
I don't know.
And that's, we don't know. Like, they never explain the rules.
I like to know rules up front.
Me too.
It's weird to just, let's explore and see what happens day by day.
Yes. And then there's also one other thing I want to touch on, that towards the end of the second episode, Harry is talking about Francesca because she's sour with him after he publicly said that she tried to kiss him and he did not try to kiss her when that was not the case. And he was going to wait for her to cool off because she was walking around she had a carrot out of the ass, I believe is what he said.
I think that
is that
is
an
probably
Australian
an Australian
slang?
Phrase. We need someone. Can we
Harry
ask?
Thing?
Can Nora, we ask Shannon Gus if that's a normal Australian thing?
A carrot out of the ass. Nora, have you heard that expression before?
You know, there is the whole carrot or stick approach when you want to either lure someone in with a carrot or berate them and hit them with a stick. So
this?
Maybe he got his analogies mixed up.
Yeah, carrot or the stick. Yeah, maybe he's just confused.
He's unsure.
He's
probably
dumb.
Doesn't even know the difference.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. All right. Nora, we're so happy and we're so lucky to have you here with us to talk about things. And this is a time when we really could use some help from you, Nora. That's so many people that are stuck in their houses. So in terms of like when people that are reaching out to you, are they looking for advice about motivation right now or about how to stay in shape while they can't get to gyms and doing all the work? I know you go on a normal time, you're going to all these different workout classes.
Mm-hmm,
so,
what's
been the approach that you've taken with people?
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question. So there's a lot, I sense a lot coming at me and I think a lot of people will be like, how are you doing? But I really think that that's their way of like breaking open so that they can now talk about whatever they're experiencing and maybe getting, you know, some insight from a friend. I mean, it could be, I'm sure this happens to you guys too. And obviously people that care for you are reaching out, but, there are a few different things happening. I think, this is a good example of not knowing the future and how you can let it take you into a tailspin now. And if you were to know that this is over in 2 weeks, you'd be operating so differently than if you knew than you didn't know when it was going to end. And so what's happening now is people's minds are like, and then this could happen and then that could happen. And just, and so that's the thing that's happening. And I'm finding that I have to remove myself from being around people that are like that because it is contagious. In that respect, okay,
yes,
the fear of this thing is contagious. And, you know, you're living so these are some of my little tips or a piece of advice. And I will say to answer your question about the gym, for me, it's about the sociability. So for me, I can work out, I can run, I can do whatever. I like to try to, like how you said, Kirsten, it's like, I like minimalism, so I like to just adapt. But because I was living in suburbia with my parents, it was very good for me to get out of the house and be around other people and, you know, go to the gym. But I'm actually not going there because I think it's going to really take my health to the next level, per se. It's just like a good outlet. And I think what people are missing right now is the connection. And so, you got all these like online platforms like doing these workouts. And I'm like, okay, am I going to take my phone that is already this small of a screen and put it ahead of me and actually do a workout and know what's going on? Like, I'm advanced and I can't even see what the heck they're saying. And if their top by top directions aren't amazing, I'm sorry. Like, it's not working. It's not working. So what I would say is control what you can control. And the things that really create happiness for people are connection. And if you can't get a connection externally, like your own family, you can, like what we're doing right now, like I feel so connected because we're hanging out. Mm-hmm. We're all hanging out. We're talking. We can see each other. It's not just a voice. And I think people need to find connection. Find it, whether it's within your own quarantine of who you're with, or you want to FaceTime. And you know what? Secondly, what's on your to-do list that you said, oh, later I'll do it, later I'll do it. We live in this world where it's like, everyone's always running around like squirrels in fast motion, I call it. It's like, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. And it's like, people are so used to that. There's this like anxiety because we're so trained to be that way that people don't know how to just like take a second. So I would say, take this moment, get your taxes done. The deadline has been extended, but now's a good time where—
than you, Nora.
I know.
And I just like, this is a good moment to say as well, like Nora's right about these online videos being really hard to watch. But one that I found really useful, two of my favorite yoga instructors started a YouTube account called Living Room Yogis, and you can put YouTube on your TV. So you can like do their classes, and they do like all kinds of yoga. Like they have like a hip hop class, they have a yin class, they have everything. And I would recommend that to people who are looking for something, even just to help you relax.
No, I love that. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but because I've gotten more deep into yoga, I wasn't always in yoga and I'm still not really as in it as some other people. The point of doing yoga is so that we all are together and we can raise our vibration to this exponential level. It's not like me, you and Rob and we go times three. It's like we go times maybe 15. So there is something about that, the power of us all being in the same room and doing it. And but I think it goes with this whole, we're so used to being like this. And people are like, oh, just give me something to do. Okay. Oh, I'm going to do this class. And, but I think it's whatever makes you settle. If you're like, if your messaging is I need this and you get this, then you're going to be pacified.
Yeah.
Nora, do you do any online instruction of things like yoga or any of your fitness regimen?
It's so funny you say this. So for my own health coaching program, Lean Out Now, which is I do pretty much one-on-one. Now that this is happening, I'm like, you know what? I need to do this in a group environment and do it virtually so people can get access to this, because it's also expensive when you're doing it one-on-one, right? It's like having a personal trainer versus doing group fitness. I went on a tangent, but what I would say to my own clients is they'll be like, oh, are you going to give me workouts? Are you going to give me exercises? They're going to show me. I'm like, no, my big thing is number one, do what you love. So if Kirsten likes hip hop, she did mention the hip hop and the yoga. So she must like both. And it's like a good match for her. Like I'm a believer. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters that you do something that you love, because that's something that's going to attract you to it, and it's going to be sustainable versus like, you know, Rob, you got to do this thing. You got to do a P90X. Like I'm a big believer. Just start with that. Like, what do you love to do versus let me show you. Cause the thing is as you saw in Survivor, they look like Greek gods when it's over or not even after a week, right? Why? You're in nature. You're with others. You have no TV, no cell. You don't have a lot of like pollution, some other stuff.
It is.
You're
just not eating.
It's not. So yeah. So I actually did an interview with, why can't I think of his name right now? I love him. Who does a lot of writing for Survivor?
Dalton Ross.
Mike Bloom.
We love Mike Bloom.
Yes. I couldn't think of his last name for a second. So Mike Bloom, if you want to Google that, I actually had a full on interview about why Survivor is so healthy. So I will tell you and make this parallel because it'll be more enjoyable. So what can you do that makes people so healthy and detoxified in Survivor? Go to bed when the sun goes down. Be done eating before the sun goes down. Wake up when the sun is up.
Yes.
Eat in the morning. Now they've had a full 12 hours at least of eating, and breakfast should be breaking the fast. So if you're done eating by 7 o'clock and you eat at 9 a.m., that's amazing. Like, so that's a simple thing you could all do. Be in nature. Like we are literally walking around in the ocean, on sand, on chocolate pudding jello is what it seems like to just walk to go to the well or go to the bathroom.
They had that, like, Chloe's date, right, Kirsten?
What?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
What? Yeah.
It was on the strawberries.
Chocolate pudding.
Okay, got you. That's what it was like to walk barefoot around the Vokai tribe.
It had a lot of water in it.
Okay. Yeah. So the thing is, though, there is something about touching the ground. That's why when you go on vacation and you're on the sand or whatever, other things, they are eating mostly raw foods.
Mm-hmm.
Cooked foods, maybe a little bit of rice, but in general, it's like fruits, it's coconut. And then when you win a reward, it's also like local Fiji stuff. Like, it's fruit, it's vegetables, it's whatever. So eat more raw foods and less cooked foods. And we're eating vegan out there. Yeah, yeah. You might get a little bit of chicken or a whatever reward. Again, you know, out of all your meals out of a week, how much is going to be that little reward of that little bit of meat? So we're eating mostly vegan, mm-hmm. whole foods, plant-based vegan.
Okay.
And a few more, you're drinking a lot of water and it's high alkaline natural water. Do not drink the tap water. It's super acidic. So I have a lot of pillars to my program, but mm-hmm. the idea is you don't want to be acidic. If you're stressed, you become acidic. When you are not breathing, a lot of people, just breathing exercises would benefit you, because if you're stressed and you're not breathing and now you go binge on ice cream, if you had done the deep breathing, you're going to be stimulating your parasympathetic nervous system and you're not going to have the stress that needs that thing you're reaching for.
Nora, that a friend and I were talking about the Mount Rushmore of vegetables this weekend. What, wow. Nora, as a person who is been a vegan, what in your mind are the Mount Rushmore of vegetables?
This is so fun. Okay, an avocado is a fruit, so okay. I can't put that up there.
So a lot of people have a hard time telling the difference between vegetables and fruits.
When Akiva said, "Oh, cucumber and tomatoes," I was like,
yeah, tomatoes are actually fruits.
So are cucumbers.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I was going to push back on a cucumber. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm into the anti-cancer vegetables.
Yes.
So, however, they can be very gassy vegetables. So it depends, like, what agrees with you. But for me, I think anything in the cruciferous family.
Okay.
Broccoli. Mm. I'm into more green over any other color.
Yeah.
Because those are more alkalizing. So I would say broccoli's up there, but broccoli. You could do cauliflower, whatever. But broccoli is going to be up on Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Hell yeah.
And honestly,
you need four
leafy greens. Okay, fine. Kale.
Kale.
Lots of iron, lots of fiber.
Yes. Yes. Okay. What else? Well, give me the four.
Honestly, I'm going to give you mushrooms because it's like meaty. It's got some substance. You can put it in a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
See, I would satisfying. Think that I wouldn't think of that as a vegetable.
It's a fungus.
It's a fungus. Is that technically, Kirsten? Is that technically?
I mean, I'm not a scientist here. I think, sure, we could put mushrooms on there. I would like to make an argument for asparagus.
Okay, this is Nora's Mount Rushmore.
She can go with whatever she wants.
Yeah,
I like it. I mean, I also think about preparation. Like, if you were at a restaurant, they could do something fun and make the vegetables are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there's this vegan restaurant here that does their bacon is mushrooms, and it's so good.
Okay.
They put liquid smoke and they make it have this like bacon taste. So I'm all about like what vegetable can be used in many ways that is satisfying. It's not like boring.
Okay. What about peas? Okay. Would peas make your Mount Rushmore?
This is the thing. Most people need to go lower on their carbohydrates and
too many carbs in peas.
The thing is, pea protein is pretty amazing. I actually love peas.
Well, yeah, peas with brown rice makes a complete protein, mm-hmm. so it's easier to digest.
Oh, I like that, girl. You got some knowledge. Okay.
Well, yeah, Rob's on a call with two vegetarians.
Okay. Oh, Chris, I didn't know that about you.
Rob, I've never eaten meat in my life. I was raised vegetarian.
Oh, wow. Kirsten,
that's amazing.
Yeah, we didn't really get to explore what the eating situation is on Too Hot to Handle. What do you think? That they come out with like a box of pizzas, or do you think there's a mess hall? What do you think they do?
That is a really good call.
They just drink alcohol.
Because they're not going to show us them eating because that is going to mess with the audio and stuff. I'm assuming it's just like normal, like craft services catering that you would get on any like TV shoot. Because then like the whole crew is eating.
Survivor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Exactly. Like how all the survivors definitely get, you know, extra food, obviously. Yeah. I would assume that they're just doing like normal craft services because then the whole crew can eat it. And then they're also just providing it to them.
And Nora, do you feel like that if the people from Too Hot to Handle followed your guidelines and went to bed when the sun went down, that that would also help them win the money?
Yeah, good point.
Yes, that would be good.
They should just sleep a lot to try and get through it.
Yeah. If they really were cared about the money and not making good TV, the producers would probably like wake them up with pots and pans.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like they're doing a fast. Like when people do a water fast, it's like they can't have food and they can't do normal things. So they have to find, they have to busy themselves with other things. Like what if they start reading books? What if they start learning a new skill? Yes. Like what could they do with this time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chloe did have her phone. Maybe they could do Duolingo.
Like, yeah, imagine they came out and they were all like scholars and like had like research papers and stuff that they came up with. That would be amazing. And maybe they could come up with the vaccine for the coronavirus.
That would be extra impressive from this particular group of people.
This group. Turns out that they're brilliant people, that they were just focused on the wrong thing this whole time.
Yeah, they're putting all their energy just into sex and they could have changed the world.
What a twist.
That's deep.
Nora, did you have any thoughts on this Survivor season? Did you want to, is there anything that you've been thinking about Winners at War?
Yes.
Winners at War, spoiler alert for through 10 weeks of Winners at War.
Why is it spoiler alert?
Well, just in case somebody's like, oh, I didn't know you were going to talk about Survivor. I only watched...
Oh, okay.
It's only been like 4 days. Too hot to handle. Oh my God, grow up.
Well, just in case somebody just stumbles across, oh, I didn't know you guys talked about Survivor. I thought this was a Too Hot to Handle podcast.
Hey, you do it all, Rob.
Yeah, we do it all.
I did like how Nick said, hey guys, if this is Winners of War, this is pathetic. I love that he said that.
Yes.
Because... as you know from my season, what I didn't like is how people just want to sit there and just try to be somewhat invisible and just sit back and let people kind of kill themselves. Mm-hmm. However, if you want to represent as a winner and, you know, you're going to, for me, it's like they were so deathly afraid to throw out a name that everyone is so afraid to talk and discuss and play. And it really was very... I was very disappointed for a while. I felt that everyone, you know, their egos are so big because they are who they are that they're thinking, which I don't like that way of thinking, like I should this, and they live inside of a should and what's my identity, what's my persona. Yeah. And I found it kind of boring. Like, wow, you guys are really holding back. And you go to tribal and they're just sitting there and it's just, I was just like, let's go. Come on.
Yes. Nora, actually, and Kirsten, do you think that somebody like Harry, Harry should stand up and say like, hey, we're supposed to be too hot to handle. We're sitting here and none of us are hooking up this is pathetic. We're supposed to be the greatest hookup artists in the world. And none of us are even having any sex here. This is pathetic.
I mean, I feel like that's essentially what he was saying to Francesca anyways.
Yes.
Like once they kissed and he's like, okay, well, we already did that. Let's keep going. It's the same energy.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. I think they call out everybody. This whole courtroom's out of order. Yeah. I like it. It's spinning around.
Yeah. I just think, you know, you're there. And on Survivor, I did find it disappointing. Mm-hmm. And now it's starting to happen because in their head, they've said, I just got to make merge.
Visit. I think that it's no coincidence that things got really crazy after the family visit. And you know how it is, Nora, where everybody's like, oh, well, I just want to get to the family visit. So I think that was good. They should do the family visit on the first day.
It's yeah, like just bring out your family with like, all right. Yeah.
Here we go. A drink before war. By the way, your family's here. Family visit. All right, now let's start the game.
The only problem is they won't get those emotional shots of people crying and Jeff won't get to enjoy asking people about, normal human interactions as if he is an alien. And those are key components of the family visit. Yeah.
Oh, Nora, do you think that there will be a loved one's visit in Too Hot to Handle?
I mean, so that's actually in Love Island. The parents like do come at the end to like meet the person that they're seeing. So like, it's not that crazy of a question.
Because, Kirsten, I suspect that a lot of our contestants here on Too Hot to Handle might have estranged relationships from a parent. I suspect that perhaps there was not a strong parental influence on any of these young men and women.
I just think that you need to remember that David is just trying to be a man that his mother will be proud of. And that is why he loves sex parties.
And going, to bars and takes his shirt off.
He just walks in and takes off his shirt Game and over. It's that easy for him. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Honestly, the thing is, it's different on The Bachelor where you're like, I want to marry this person. What do you think, family? It's like, hey, mommy, I want to have sex with this girl. What do you think about it?
Yes. Yes.
Green light from you.
Yes.
And honestly, you're just making me want that to happen more. Because the other thing too that I can see happening is like their whole conceit for this is people are having too much sex, they're having meaningless relationships, we're going to take sex and physical affection out of the equation so that they can form more deep and meaningful relationships. So are we going to see, as the show progresses, people actually end up dating rather than just hooking up? And in that case, would they bring the parents and be like, mom, I've changed. I know you've been really upset over all these years and I've just been, chasing sex on these apps, but now I've found the girl of my dreams and we're gonna get married. Like, can you see that? I could see them trying to push that narrative.
Mom, I've found the man of my dreams. I want you to meet Sharon. Mom, are you familiar with a can of air freshener?
Any girl that has been sent that photo with the air freshener in it that he alludes to.
Yes. Do you think that
they should call the police? It's not okay.
We'll have some sort of a moment where that a bunch of women will realize that I too have received the air freshener photo.
And then, what, you go to Sharon's house and you see the air freshener in his bathroom? You don't want to touch it?
Right. Right.
That's scary. I don't know. I'm just like horrified by his whole air freshener situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day when we do a Sharon deep dive podcast, we'll ask him, why an air freshener? Why not even go with something like a thimble or something that be even more impressive in comparison? A matchbook.
I think we've officially jumped the shark here. Okay.
All right. There you go. All right. So for more on Too Hot to Handle, check out Kirsten's recaps coming this week. We'll have those in our Rehap Ups feed, the next two recaps covering episodes 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. And then we'll have a roundtable to close things out at the end of the week on Friday night. And that'll be with me in the main feed. Okay. Kirsten, what else do you have going on?
So I'm on all social media at Kirsten Said What, including Twitch, where I'm trying to make my Sims more dramatic. So please check me out, twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. And then Mary.
I like that accent at the end. That's good.
What?
Kirsten Said What?
No question mark, though.
No question mark. And then Mary Kwiatkowski and I just covered the musical episode of Riverdale season 4 this week on Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K. And even if you don't watch Riverdale, I think that was a really fun podcast. And I would encourage people to check that one out.
Okay. All right. Nora, have you ever seen Riverdale? I know you don't watch a lot of TV.
I don't think it's for Nora. It's bad. It's a bad. You guys were talking on Renap about shows that started good and got bad. Yeah. And I was like, Riverdale started bad and got worse. I think the season's better than last season, but like, it's not good. Yeah. And I wouldn't recommend anyone who likes quality TV.
They're trying to rise above the noise, I think.
Kirsten, do you have ratings like where you like how Siskel and Ebert used to do these ratings that people really used to live and die by? Do you do that for your shows?
We do not.
You should.
What we do is we struggle to find one person that acted normal in the episode, and we call them the most normal person. And
not normal.
It's a, It is a, I mean, if we were looking for a normal person, it would still be hard, but would probably be a little bit more feasible because Riverdale's off the walls. It is not the Archie comics you remember.
Okay.
Okay. And Nora, we're so blessed that you had some time to talk with us today. I know this was not your cup of green tea to talk about. Too hot to handle.
You're good. You're good.
Yeah. Well,
honestly, who doesn't want to talk about dating and you know what, and psychology of people in a situation with a given premise? I mean, it's always fascinating. Well,
that's why I thought of you for this. I was like, oh, this will be so fun. And I bet, that I've been, trying to come up with, ways that we could podcast more. I was like, oh, this would be great to talk about.
Yes.
Because, you're one of my favorites. I love having you on to talk about everything.
Yes. I'm going to save this clip forever.
No, you're so much fun.
I'm going to cut it off and put it and post it on all my pages. Yes.
And I loved our interview that we did back in January.
It was 2.5 hours.
I think it was 3.5 hours.
Wait, 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And it was a joy.
It was wonderful.
I still had people writing me about it. Like, because some people have watched the season late or they watched your stuff late. Mm-hmm. But thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I had more to add to this show.
No, but that's fine. There's nothing more to add.
There's
only things to subtract from this show. There's nothing to add. So thank you.
It's funny how you call me a dating pro at the beginning. So I was like, you know what? The more you do it, the less you know. The less you know, what's it about? What's the point?
Nora,
we'll let you know on Friday.
Yes. We'll have a whole process.
Yes. Okay. And Nora, where can people find out more about everything that you're doing?
You can go to my Instagram. I'm more into Instagram. I do a story constantly. Yes. So Nora Knows Best is on Instagram. I'm Nora Knows Best One on Twitter. That's another story. You can go to leanoutnow.com. And I really think in a few weeks I will have a virtual course.
Yes.
So people at home can, honestly, it's about the nutrition. It's about your habits. It's not as much about the workouts as you would think. Like your body burns, let's say 1500 to 2000 calories a day. You think your workout of 300 to 400 calories is going to make that much of a difference? It's not. So it's the other stuff. So I am going to be talking about that. And if you want to buy nutrition bars that will keep you full, but are also delicious and have nutrition, most bars don't have anything in there for you, then you go to superfreshies.com.
Okay. And Nora knows what she's talking about because that earlier this year, I just told Nora like a little bit of like what I was trying to do in my personal fitness. And Nora was leaving me so many messages and was going into my macros and what I need to be doing. And it's like Nora, that I'm overwhelmed.
That won't go away.
I'm overwhelmed.
I send him probably like 10 1 minute Instagram voice notes because they cap you and I hate that. And sometimes you're like, oh, I'm on a roll when I had something really amazing to say and you're like, it didn't catch it. What the heck? Genius cut off.
Yeah. All right. Well, Nora, always appreciate it. Scott St. Pierre has what's coming up here on Rob is a Podcast. Lego Masters, one of my son's favorite shows. Check out the recap of the last couple episodes with Liana Boris and her sister, Top Chef. The Roundtable was back again this weekend. Mm-hmm. So check that out in our wrap ups feed as well. Oh, Earl Cole, Nora had a great chance to talk with Earl Cole. Had a real fun podcast catching up with Earl this weekend. Check that out. And then Lauren O'Connell was on the B&B this week. I'm looking forward to listening to that one as well, to hear what Lauren O'Connell had to say with Mike and Liana. Your friend and mine, Nora, Bryce, joined me. Very funny podcast that I saw that Kim Spradlin had some great retweets about that. Don't forget to check out Shannon Gus talking to Werner from Survivor South Africa about what's going on with the Winners at War. And then We also have find out why the latest player lost with David and Jessica. I don't even want to speak who it was. To me, that makes it too real. Matt Lagori, I'm supposed to record with him in about 10 minutes for this week in Survivor. We got that coming up as well. And then Josh Wiggler on Monday will be back with the Wiggle Room. So be sure to check out
everything. When do you sleep, bro?
Hours a night. And then we'll be back with the Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. So we'll do it all again next week, of course. All this made possible with the help of the patrons this month. We are taking, Nora, listen to this. This month, anybody who's becoming a new patron, we're donating all of that money, 100% of the new money that comes in, to directrelief.org. They provide PPE for doctors and nurses and community health organizations that are on the front lines battling the coronavirus. And then I am matching that contribution. We started a GoFundMe that has up over $8,000 as well. Robiswebsite.com/PPE charity. So we have raised well over $15,000 for directrelief.org this month. So it's been a very impressive haul for directrelief.org this month. So thanks for all the support on that fundraising front. Okay.
Wow.
All right. It's a lot. Nora, thank you so much for joining us. Kirsten, looking forward to hearing what you come up with the rest of this week and getting back together on the weekend to talk about how it all works out for the Too Hot to Handle crew. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.